supposed to be better than Weight Watchers or any of these folks. Never? Yeah. I just filled up my tank and now I can't afford to eat that. I told you I don't want to eat tonight. Some of these folks wasn't here. So, yeah. Just filled up my tank and I can't afford to eat diet. I had a bad week. I bought gas and bought groceries this week. It was rough. we live in strange times, and I've looked back and looked at some of where I feel like God's led me over the past few months in preaching, and it seems to be kind of taking a similar tone, kind of peace, calm, and that God is still on the throne, and He's brought me this morning that I think maybe the pinnacle of that thought in this particular psalm. I really struggled this week with a title for this message, and I wasn't completely content with this one, but the longer I pondered it over and the longer I said it in my head, the more I began to like it, because that's what the psalm is. It is the calm psalm. If you read this psalm, it's all about calm down. It's all about it'll be okay, that God is still on the throne, that God will take care of His people. And so it is a great psalm. If you go and if you attend very many funerals somewhere along the way, you will probably hear this psalm referenced. If you go and buy a Christian book on discouragement and depression, you will find this psalm referred to. This is a great psalm that deals with peace, and it deals with comfort. And it's one that, this morning, even though I only take two verses for my text today, I would encourage you, make a note, make a mark, stick a bookmark, whatever it takes for you to rely, to be able to recall and go back to the 46th Psalm. It is a psalm that I promise you will come in handy. It will be a psalm that you will find great comfort in the time of your distress, and that was its purpose. The 46th Psalm, to really understand it, I think, and to get our minds around it, you need to understand something about the setting of the psalm. The psalm was written at a dangerous, a terrible time in the life and time of Israel and Judah and Jerusalem in particular. As I mentioned this several weeks ago at some point, that if you look throughout history, there is always been, it seems, one nation that has somewhat been the powerhouse, the influencer of the world for the last few years, anyway, for the last several years now, that nation has largely been America. It was kind of the big dog, if you will. We had the big military. Everyone wanted to come to America. Everyone wanted to go to America, be like America. It was really interesting when we were in China to see people in some of their markets where they were selling bugs and everything else. They weren't at the fish bait store, by the way. That was the grocery store. Bugs and snakes and everything else, and to see them run bust themselves at two shows. That was just, while they were still in the midst of their culture, they had a desire to be part of ours and to know more about America. And as we were traveling around, those we were with would often ask us questions about America and about the things that they had read or they had heard, that America influence culture. At times it has been Rome. At times it has been Greece. At times it has been Egypt. At the time this psalm was written, it was in a nation known as Assyria. And Assyria was the big dog. They were the ones who were taking over. They were kind of spreading across the region much like a cancer. And as they spread, many nations, when they were the popular, the powerful nation, they would go in and they would more or less conquer other nations. And they would go in and take them over. Assyria was a little more ruthless. They would go in and basically wipe them out. And by doing so, in some ways, they were hurting themselves, because as they would do, they would just leave a pathway of destruction. They would wipe out a city. They would destroy it. They would kill the people. They would kill their crops. They would just tear down the buildings. They would just destroy it. They just left a path of destruction. And so they were constantly being forced to further expand, to find new territories. And so now they're closing in on Israel and Judah, and in particular the city of Jerusalem, and they are moving in. And the stories, you can imagine how the stories, they didn't have CNN and satellite and cell phones, but what happened with big age, who had witnessed that they had been able to escape as the city had expanded, would go ahead. And they would come and tell the stories about how ruthless they were, the destruction, the plundering that that the Assyrians were doing. And so that those in Jerusalem were just terrified, just kind of like you know, the old story of Paul and Peter, the beasts are coming. There's a power of war on the walls of Jerusalem saying the Assyrians are coming. The Assyrians are coming. And the people were terrified. They didn't know what they were going to do. They were they knew that when the Assyrians got there wouldn't be any treaties, there wouldn't be any bargaining, that there would be a total destruction. In fact, it eventually comes to a place where the Assyrians had the city of Jerusalem completely surrounded. At one point, they had surrounded the city and preparing to attack it, and the Jews are just terrified. They don't know what they're going to do. And in the end, the psalmist writes these amazing words: "Be still and know that I am God." And as I thought about that, I thought about, now, how would that be received? Here we are under the gunsights of the Assyrians, and they're saying, and the psalmist is saying, "Be still, be still, and know that I am God." And they're like, "What do you mean, be still? We're looking for the back door here. We're trying to dig a tunnel just as quickly as we can. Be still, nothing. We're trying to run. We're trying to get out of the way. Be still." And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, what a parallel. The quickest thing I can come to is, I think, anybody ever tried to get a splinter out of a child's hand or foot, or maybe they stepped on a bee and you're trying to get the bee sting out of the foot? What do they say to them? They say, "Be still." And they're like, "You're right. You're coming to me with a knife. You're coming to me with a step pin with tweezers. Be still, nothing. I'm trying to get away from you just as quickly as I can." And that's pretty much the attitude that the Jews had. And God says, "Be still and know that I am God." And as I looked at that and I thought about that, it's interesting, if you will. I don't know. I've heard several answers this morning. My Bible over the 46th Psalm says, "God Our Refuge," is the title of this psalm. John Phillips, in his commentary on this passage, his heading is this. Goes back to the old hymn, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God," is how he reads this psalm. But this psalm, when you look at these two verses, I'm going to share with you today three things, and these go together. You can't separate them, but they're together, that bring calm, that bring peace. And the other title this morning was "The Pathway to Peace," because this is a pathway. This isn't something that's going to be just a one-step process. It's something that we come to recognize. Three things out of this psalm that bring us peace. Whether it's financial problems, health problems, $4 gas problems, grocery price problems, children problems, homework problems, whatever it is, I think this psalm gives us the direction to bring peace in our lives. This morning, I just saw those opening two words where the psalmist says, "Be still." Again, what an amazing statement. What kind of an arrogant statement in some ways. When the psalmist simply says, "Be still." Be still to people who are just hours away from being overrun. Be still, he says, to those who are looking at the adversary, who are sticking their head up over the walls of Jerusalem and seeing thousands of well-trained, vicious Assyrian soldiers standing there just waiting for their commander to say, "Charge!" And they're saying, and they're hearing the psalmist say, "Be still." And it's interesting, I looked at this psalm in about, I don't know, 15 to 20 different translations. It's really interesting the way these various translations do it with this statement, "Be still and know that I am God." Some of them simply say, "Stop!" and recognize God. "Stop! Stop what you're doing and recognize God. Stop everything going around." Some of them say, "Calm down." Some of them say, "Quit striving." That's a little fancier than I am. "Quit striving." One of the ones I like the best says this. It says, "Come out of the traffic and know that I am God." Come out of the traffic and know that I'm God. That's why I think most of us can try to get our minds around. Now it's talking about having to drive through tunnels. Any of you that have ever driven very far in most cars, sometimes we think traffic's bad around here. And even going to Charlotte, sometimes we think traffic's bad. You have to get somewhere over here. Sometimes we think it's wrong to do that. Let me tell you something. Most of y'all know now, about 6 years ago, we spent about 3 weeks in China with Kenzie in order to get home. I want to tell you something, folks. You have never seen bad traffic till you watch those nuts go. But I understand many of them didn't have cars just a few years ago. And so this is a new experience, isn't it? I tell you before, they may have three good drivers in China, good horn, good brake, good rocks. You know, they believe it too. Because all you do, they just got down the road blowing the hell. They'll take a 3-lane highway, turn it into a 6-lane highway in a skinny minute. I mean, those lines are nothing. Those lines over there, I don't know what they're about to paint them for. Because they just spread out. They're all on the sidewalks and stuff. And there are all these cars in between them, they're in bicycles. Thousands of bicycles. And I don't mean bicycles of people. I mean bicycles with houses on the back of them. Let's see some of these pictures we've got. These folks are moving more on bicycles than some of us could move in a pickup truck. I mean, they've got their roster strapped down, and then amongst all of those, they're so happy. I mean, it's the most unbelievable scene. I come across the video. I got a video I shot from the back seat of a taxi. I just let the camera up and watched this bit. I had my eyes shut. I mean, if you ever come up and watched it. The greatest thing, the one I remember the most is the final city we were in was the city of Guangzhou. And that was where the embassy was. And in Guangzhou is where everybody wants to go from America anyway, they want to adopt from China because you have to go through the embassy to deal with the paperwork. Well, in that city, there's a little island right kind of in the middle of the city. The city has just kind of a river around it. And the embassy used to be on that island, and so everybody still stays there in the hotel because usually you just walk to the embassy. And now the embassy's moving, people still stay there. And there's really nothing on that little island but typical Chinese markets. I mean, like I said, the bugs, the snakes, the everything in the market kind of store, those kind of things. If you wanted it to eat, you had to go out and across the river and down the street to McDonald's. Now, we started out as you might imagine, I could have got there, fed it down here, I'll eat it, and give it a try. Just don't tell me where it is, just stay it down. If it's not moving, I'll give it a whirl. Run away and crack that open mouth. She wasn't even completely sold on the McDonald's and the KFC over there, to be honest with you. So we started to walk over to the McDonald's. And the nearest way I can think of describing it, and some of you know what I'm talking about, some of you won't, but you did. Some many of you know where Five Forks is. It's a real range of that. The Five Forks up in China Bay, right near South Area High School. There's kind of five roads that come together out there off of 150. They come all together there, and it's just kind of a tumble up this. Well, that's about what it was across the street there where we had to cross to get to the McDonald's. Now, I got to tell you, my best of how good it makes you have an opinion in McDonald's. I was willing to go through this to get longer than McDonald's. And you go out there, and again, they've got all four or five of these lanes, these roads, three or four lanes, six, 7 lanes right now. I mean, there are cars everywhere. You couldn't pack them in the room and tell them. They're all there in their hands, and they all want to go. And in amongst all those thousands of cars, there are thousands of bicycle riders. And there are probably that many walkers in amongst the traffic. I'm not talking about all of this. Now, we are in a group of about 1,000, I would say, trying to cross the street to get to the McDonald's. And I must tell you, I was in the minority. Because there's thousands of cars, bald hands, there's people on the bicycles, yelling and screaming, there's people walking, ducking, dodging, diving, and they're in the midst of 1,000 walkers trying to cross the street. And all I hear is, hey, something like this, ding, 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 ding. I'm not sure if they're saying, look at the stupid American, or what. But here's what I know. At that moment, Kevin and Larry were starting back to school when we were in China. I wasn't worried about them. Not in the least. They weren't even on my mind. I didn't even know they existed. I hadn't, by now we'd been in China almost 3 weeks. I wasn't thinking about home. I wasn't thinking about you. I was thinking, dear God, get me across this state. Yeah, there was very little in my mind as all those Chinese folks yelling and hollering, bellowing, hollering, rattling off in a language I didn't understand. Just, and I'm trying to keep my eye on whether or not to cross or don't cross. Or, you know, is one of them that's driving down the sidewalk? There's some guy standing there saying something looks like a set of sticks. Yeah, and I'm going, if I'm right, I'm down. Yeah, somebody's saying that looks like a set of sticks. And I'm like, I promise you, those all was on my mind. I wasn't thinking, the closest to being spiritual I was is, dear God, I'm about to go to heaven. Yeah, that's about, you know, that's all was on my mind. I was in that traffic. And it was what the psalmist says, come out of the traffic. Be still. John Phillips, I mentioned a while ago, his book says this. He says, man cannot know God when he's concerned with the busyness of life. Be still. I want to tell you how to be calm. I want to tell you how to have peace. The first step is be still. Sometimes you just got to stop. Sometimes you just got to say, I've got to quit a minute. I've got to pull up. I've got to get out of the middle of this. Be calm. Be still. He said, come out of the traffic. Now, how do you know, you get in the car, and you go to drive down to the beach, you go to drive somewhere, and you get in a lot of traffic, and you drive through that traffic on your trip. Many times by the time you get there, where you're going, what's the first thing you want to do? Take a nap. You roll out. Then you're in the traffic of life. You're often distracted. One of the things I don't know why exactly, other than perhaps it does help me spiritually, because I do pray a lot when this happens. I don't know why, but I started riding and letting around the block. And I don't know why, other than I do pedal. And you know what I've noticed? When I ride, I can ride down the exact same roads I used to drive on, and I'm amazed at what I see. You know, part of it is we're going way slower than I would go. I'll give you an example. Between Lane Street and Bellone right down there, I've been fascinated. I've been studying over on the side. It's all woods, but I've been noticing riding. There's all kinds of paths and roads, and right down in the middle of it, there's a streetlight. No streetlight worries me. I've been trying to figure out why that streetlight's down in the woods for no purpose. Never seen anybody there, but I see all that, and I never seen that when I was driving. But when I'm riding, when I'm not turning it up in the traffic, I'm like, hey, I didn't know that. Hey, I didn't know that was there. Yeah, just amazed at what I see. Listen, you don't see God, be still. Come out of the traffic. Take some time. If you have to get up early in the morning, stay up late at night. One of the things I did the training, did the teaching several years ago, I read out Jesus, and one of the things that is part of that is that there is a time where you take solitude. You just go up by yourself. You don't say anything. You don't hear anything. Or anybody speak to you anyway. You just spend some time in silence. I don't know about you, but the first time I ever did that was nerve-wracking for the first little bit. I'm not used to silence. You know, not anybody else's. Just silence. You begin to hear after a while the birds sing. You begin to hear things. You begin to hear God speak. Peace. Be still. Be still. Notice the position of peace. It begins by being still. Get out of the traffic. Take some time. Spend some time alone with God. Spend some time. Whether you have to get up early, whether you have to stay up late, whether you have to add a room on to your house, go out in the woods, be still. Be still. Something in America we have a really hard time doing. Be still. And then look what he says. I love this. How many of you here, young enough, and you got kids young enough, you remember the old ABC cartoon, Conjunction Junction, What's Your Function? Y'all remember that? Yeah, I don't remember much about anything they ever taught me in English. I'll be honest with you. 12 years of English in school, don't remember much about it. I think I might have still diagram a sentence. They don't even do that anymore, don't they? Yeah, but I do remember the old cartoon, Conjunction Junction, What's Your Function? You remember the cartoon? It had a couple of trains going down through there. And the conjunction did that. It brought the two trains together. A conjunction brings two thoughts together. Do you notice what the next word after be still is? You know what that is? Conjunction, junction, that's your function. He says, be still and what? Look at these two thoughts that brings together. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. What is the position to be still? Why? What's the purpose to know that I am God? When they're hooked together, you can't separate those two things. When we are still, he says, you will know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Listen, you want to find peace, you want to find calmness in your life. It begins with being still, because when we are still, we see God. I love the passage in Hosea where it talks about the dew. And it says, it talks about how God will appear as the dew. And I've told you this before, that dew doesn't, we talk about dew appearing, we talk about dew rising, we talk about dew falling. Here's the reality about dew. If you remember, I told you, dew is there all the time. It's the moisture in the air, but it shows up when the conditions are right. God says, I'll show up when the conditions are right. Dew doesn't show up on windy nights. Dew doesn't show up on stormy nights. Dew shows up when it's calm. Listen, God says, you be still. You be calm. You get out of the traffic and you'll know that I'm God. So you go around. Here's what we want. Here's the part of this verse we want. We want God to be exalted among the heathen. We want God to be exalted in the earth. We want America to turn us to God. We want to revival our land. Look what it says. It says when God's people, he is writing to the Jews first, when he says when God's people get out of the traffic and know that he is God, then he'll be exalted among the nations. Then and only then. See, we've got this mindset. We want to see God exalted in America. You want to see God exalted in America? Be still and know that he's God. You want to see God pervade our government. You want to see God pervade our policies and our culture? It's not going to happen when the jump's still out of God. It's not going to happen when all those other things. It's going to happen when God's people get still and know that he's God. Peace comes from being still, knowing he's God. Three-part plan. Be still. Know that I am God. Then you are, I will be exalted. He says your position is still. The purpose is so that you will know I am God. And then look what the promise is. When all this takes place, he says when that happens, he says the Lord God is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Lord God is with us. And the God of Jacob is our refuge. Look at that verse. You can't take that verse and take it apart. It's all one statement. He says, when we are still, we'll know God. And when we know God, he is our refuge. You can't take that apart. You can't separate that. You're looking for peace in your life. That's the only way to find it. You're here this morning, you're a believer. You know you've been saved. You know you've accepted Christ in your heart. But things in your life, things in your job, things in your health, things in your work, things in your finance, things with your children, they're falling apart. Be still and know that I am God. It's the thing that God says to us today. Be still and know that I am God. And then I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted on all the earth. For God is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Listen, this morning, when we look at that song, regardless of what it is, you're here today and you don't know Christ, you've never accepted him in your heart, let me tell you how to find peace. You know what? You say, I'm good. No, you're not, or you wouldn't be here. That's just, I just believe that. Something inside of you, something in your heart has bothered you. Something's triggered the fact that you are here this morning, you're here today. You're on the road and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There is no peace in your life. But there is no peace in your life. This week, many of you know David Henson. David, bearded fellow that used a cis letter with our Jason is able, actually became hardly can get around. His father passed away this week. And they were talking about at his funeral. An 82-year-old man said one day his son walked in there, was sitting in the living room with him, and said he felt like he needed to go, but someone just came to stay. Just kept trying to stay. So he looked at Mike and said, Mike, tell me, Dad, tell me something. If you didn't wake up tomorrow, do you know where you'd spend eternity? And said, Mike sat there, held his head down, finally lifted up his head and said, no, I don't. And Tommy looked at him and said, well, I can tell you how. And he took the word of God and led his own father to know Jesus Christ. So that afternoon, so that evening when his daughter-in-law got home, said he walked down, said he climbed over the steps, walked down and said, come on, that's something I want to tell you. Said, some good news. Got saved today. Listen, you can have peace today, but it comes in being still and knowing God. And some of you, how many of you remember Paul Harvey? Promise he's older than everybody here. Yeah, even the young people ought to know him. He's been around forever. Remember his Rest of the Story? That had to be one of the best things on the radio. I loved his Rest of the Stories. He'd tell you a little story, and you wouldn't have an idea where it was headed, and he'd tell you the end of it, and he'd say, "Now you know the rest of the story." Yeah, I love that voice. You know, love to hear him talk. Well, let me tell you something. I got good news, but let me tell you this morning the rest of the story. So I told you where this psalm was set. This psalm was set with the Assyrians closing in on Jerusalem, had them surrounded, was ready to destroy them and wipe them out. Do you know the rest of the story? Do you Bible scholars, you know the rest of the story? Tell them, quit nodding your heads. You was here the first time I told you. Let me tell you the rest of the story. They didn't have to pack up their guns. They didn't have to run out the back gate. That verse says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." He said, "The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge, our fortress." That night, but on that night, an angel of God came down and wiped out the whole Assyrian army, and Jerusalem never fired a shot. Be still and know that I am God, because He's our refuge. Can you imagine that? Going to bed one night with the Assyrians surrounding you, waking up the next morning and they're gone? Because God is your refuge. See, I don't know what battle you're fighting this morning. I don't know what you're up against. I don't know what's robbing you of your peace. I don't know what has stolen your calm. But I want to tell you, this is the calm song. It says, be still. Get out of the traffic and know that I am God. And I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still and know that I am God. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. While our musicians are coming, whatever battles you're facing, whatever struggles you're dealing with, whatever has stolen your calm, I want to tell you about the calm song. Be still and know that I am God.